Against dark, stormy clouds, a metallic shield contains the letters WB, while a banner across its center reads Warner Brothers Pictures. More words appear below. A Warner Media Company. The logo breaks into pieces, which form a new design of a film frame with sprocket holes. New Line Cinema, a Warner Media Company. As tentacles menace a city, a man in an armored suit flies in on a jetpack, shooting light rays from his helmet's face. Taking out the monster, he lands, then sweeps a ray of light through the air, leaving the words, Atomic Monster. Text appears, Mexico, 1673. In an open field, a smiling boy holds out a necklace bearing a circular pendant with a sapphire-colored stone embedded in it. A man and a second, slightly older boy look on as a dark-haired woman takes the necklace and puts it on over her white dress. A subtitle appears, I will keep this forever. Holding hands, the family of four spins in a circle. The younger of the two boys stands with his hands over his eyes as the others revolve around him, then move off. The boy lowers his hands from his eyes and looks around to find himself alone. Around him, tree-covered mountains border the field, and the yellow knee-high grass dances in the breeze. He wades through the grass. Now he trudges along a forest trail. Pausing, he scans the sun-dappled landscape, then continues moving. Overhead, sunlight filters through the flame-red canopy of a fire tree, from which a few leaves float down to the ground. Eyes darting, the boy tromps down a dirt trail lined by tall grass.
Mama, Bartolo?
He comes to a stop, his body tensing as he spots his mother crouching in a river by the trail, holding his brother underwater. A long white veil covers her face. As Bartolo grows still, the woman lifts her gaze toward her younger son. He bolts. Catching up to him, the woman grabs him by the wrist. A title appears, The Curse of La Llorona. Now, a girl in a pink raincoat runs toward a house. Text appears, Los Angeles, 1973. Clutching a closed umbrella, the curly-haired girl skips past an outdoor pool, crosses a patch of wet grass, and bounds into a kitchen, where an older boy and a woman bustle about.
Guys, the bus is almost here.
Chris, in case I'm late for any reason, there's dinner in the fridge.
Meatloaf, got it.
Misty!
Sam grabs a doll from a study.
Lunchbox?
I got my keys.
Sam tries to open her box.
I don't know, honey. I already packed it. Here you go. Take your backpack. Let's go.
Sam moves to a window while Chris pulls on a pair of torn rain boots.
Come on, guys.
Oh, I see it.
What? Honey, no. You can't wear these.
Okay. We're gonna miss the bus.
Their mother duct tapes the boots. The trio steps out of the house.
I'm good, Mom.
The school bus drives off. Now, fingers pressed down on typewriter keys, filling out forms titled Los Angeles Department of Child Protective Services. The words truancy and child abuse appear under incident type in two different forms. Sitting at a desk, the mother of two continues typing.
Oh, Donna, what's the latest on the Alvarez case?
I called several times. She's not answering the phone. I'm taking patrol over there. Something's up at that house.
Patricia Alvarez? Why, what's going on?
We got a call from the school. Alvarez boys aren't going to class again.
Okay, well, why is Donna going over there?
I transferred some of your cases. Now, Donna has more energy.
More energy?
And more time. She doesn't have the outside responsibilities you have.
She has no kids.
She has support at home.
Because her husband isn't dead.
The woman's supervisor lowers his gaze.
She was on time every day this week. Right? But believe me, we all understand.
Do you? Doesn't really feel like it.
Less time here and more time at home might not be such a bad thing.
Patricia Alvarez isn't going to talk to someone like Donna.
Someone like Donna.
I just mean that she knows me. I've been with that family for 4 years. I've seen those kids grow up. Patricia trusts me. She knows that I'm a mom, too. The job is to do what's best for the kids.
Okay, look, just keep the case. Once you get Donna here, check in with patrol.
I don't need patrol.
Take an officer. That's not a request.
Later.
Sorry.
You know what? I can handle this myself, okay?
I'm sure you can.
In a dimly lit corridor, a police officer waits with the woman outside a door, which opens slightly, its door chain intact.
Hey, Patricia. How are you? Are the boys home?
Ma'am,
Open the door.
No, it's okay. Just give us a second. Patricia, where are the boys?
They're somewhere safe, Dana.
She tries to shut the door.
I don't know what's going on, but I might be your best bet at clearing things up. So why don't you let me in, and you can show me that they're safe, like you said.
Patricia eyes the officer through the crack.
No, he doesn't even have to come inside. Okay, why don't you just let me in?
The officer steps closer.
I promised her that I'd go on alone.
Out of respect for Officer Garcia, your husband was a police officer. You think he'd let you go in there alone?
Yeah, I do.
I'll be right here.
Thank you.
Anna enters the house. Patricia slams the door shut on the officer. Inside, boarded up windows keep the house dark.
Patricia, what happened in here?
Candles burn on every surface.
Where are the boys?
She notices Patricia fiddling with a key hanging from her neck.
If you're drinking again or if you're having some kind of...
Anna stares at the distressed woman.
No puede entrar. No puede entrar.
As Patricia heads off into another room, Anna looks around with a troubled expression. A cross hangs on the wall behind her. Moments later, a view through a beaded curtain shows the CPS worker moving across a room and peering cautiously around a corner. She looks in the direction of the beaded curtain. Stepping closer, she pushes the curtain aside and enters another candlelit room with boarded-up windows. A chair lies toppled over, and several candles burn on the floor and on various surfaces. Anna eyes two unmade beds on one side of the room. Her gaze shifts to a closet door, which bears an elaborate mural painted in black, featuring a prominent eye enclosed within a circle. Moving closer to the door, Anna examines a padlock securing a hasp. She tugs on it, to no avail. She tries the doorknob, then crouches down and puts her ear to the door with a wary expression.
Carlos?
She taps on the door with a finger.
Tomas.
Patricia walks into the room holding a hammer.
Get away from that door, Anna.
Patricia.
Get out, Anna.
What do you have inside here?
Vete!
Patricia, please, I just...
Get out!
Please, just tell me what's in
Get
here.
Get out!
She tackles her.
Get away from that door! Who told you to get...
As Patricia raises the hammer, the officer pulls her away. Breathing hard, Anna sits up and eyes the key in her hand, wrenched from Patricia's neck. Getting to her feet, she fits the key into the padlock and opens it. She pulls the lock off, flipping the hasp off its loop. She nervously opens the door. The closet lies in complete darkness. Anna steps in gingerly. Reaching up, she tugs on a pull cord. A hanging bulb lights up, illuminating the small space. Anna's eyes travel to the floor of the closet, where two boys sit huddled against the wall. She crouches.
Oh my God. Close the door, please. She'll hurt us.
No, she won't. I promise.
Later, inside a tall white building, Anna approaches the boys seated on a bench in a hallway.
Okay, guys, everything's all settled. We're gonna have warm beds and hot food and a shower. Okay?
She smiles at the younger of the two boys, who remains impassive. Spotting something, she turns the boy's hand, pushes back the sleeve of his sweater, and eyes an abrasion on his wrist.
My gosh. How did that happen?
She did it.
Anna glances at the older boy.
Your mother did that to you?
No, it wasn't her.
Anna takes another look at the bruise, then returns her gaze to the boys with a compassionate expression.
Your mother loves you, you know that, right? Whatever's happening, we're gonna take care of it, okay? But for tonight, you guys are safe.
She covers the bruise back up.
I promise you.
We're not safe anywhere.
Anna's troubled gaze flits between the two boys. At home, Sam sits on a couch, her eyes glued to a cartoon on TV. Anna enters.
Hey. Sorry I'm late. How was school?
Same old, same old.
Hey, Sam.
Anna gives her a kiss on the cheek.
There was meatloaf in the fridge. Did Chris warm it up for you?
I don't know.
Hello?
Yeah, he heated it up.
Okay. Where is he?
He's playing in Dad's office.
Anna ruffles the girl's hair.
Not too much TV, okay?
Moving to the study, she looks in from the doorway.
Suspect is on the run. I'm pursuing on foot. I think I see something. There he is. I'm on his tail. I see the suspect. I need backup. Bam, bam. I need backup. I'm taking fire.
Chris scuttles around a desk.
Freeze! Bam, bam, bam. I got him. I got the suspect. Call it in, Coop.
Anna watches him wistfully. Later, she sits at the desk, gazing at framed photos of a man in his 30s. Two of the photos feature him in uniform, while a third shows him and Anna in wedding attire. Reaching forward, Anna picks up a silver chain hanging from one of the frames and studies its circular pendant, which features a winged angel defeating a foe. An inscription around it reads, "Saint Michael the Archangel, protect us." With an emotional shake of the head, Anna places a hand on her brow. Sam sits in a bathtub.
I'm coming.
Wiping her tears, Anna deposits the chain in a box on the desk. Now, kneeling behind the bathtub, she gives Sam's shampooed hair a light scrub, then gathers the locks by the base of her neck.
Okay. Rinsing.
Rinsing.
Sam leans back into the tub. Now, a nighttime view closes in on the tall white building. Glowing orange letters on its facade read St. Victoria's Catholic Charities, with the final R flickering on and off. Inside, Patricia's younger son jolts awake in bed. Half sitting up, he looks over his shoulder to find his older brother sleeping peacefully in the bed beside his. Light from the corridor outside streams in through a window over his head. The younger boy slowly turns away, but remains propped up on one elbow. He looks toward the closed door. As the door opens, the boy quickly lies back in bed. A security guard shines a flashlight into the room, then leaves, closing the door behind him. The boy remains frozen in place, his blanket clutched in both hands. He props himself up and eyes his brother's bed. Finding it empty, he looks around and spots the older boy standing in the doorway to the room, facing outward.
Tomas! Tomas!
The older boy leaves the room without looking back. Climbing out of bed, Carlos follows him. He pauses in the dark hallway outside. Ceiling lights flicker on, and in the resultant greenish glow, Carlos spots Tomas turning a corner.
Tomas!
He walks quickly down the length of the hallway. Turning the corner, he stops, spotting his brother at the end of another long hallway. A nervous Carlos remains rooted to his spot.
Tomas!
As the ceiling lights flicker, he resumes walking at a slower pace, his steps wary and his arms stiff at his sides. He turns another corner. Tomas stands a short distance ahead, facing him with his head cocked to one side.
Tomas, what are you doing? Tomas, come back.
Carlos inches forward, slowly bridging the distance to his brother, who remains motionless. One hand raised to shoulder height, Tomas points over Carlos's head. The younger boy halts, staring at his brother. Turning slowly, He eyes a convex safety mirror mounted high up on a wall corner. A view closes in on the mirror, which reflects a figure in the hallway, perpendicular to the boy's location. A crack appears on the mirror, and the figure vanishes in a flicker of light. Looking down, Carlos finds a puddle of water at his feet.
Carlos.
A veiled woman appears before him. Anna startles awake in bed. Rubbing her forehead blearily, she answers a phone on her bedside table.
Hello?
Anna. Scoop. We just pulled the Alvarez boys out of the river. I'm gonna need you to meet me at 4th and Mission.
Okay, I'll be right there.
Putting down the receiver, she brings a hand to her mouth, her eyes welling with tears. Now, a view of the Los Angeles River shows a red siren light flashing in an inlet along one of the concrete banks. Turning into the inlet, a station wagon rolls to a stop some distance away from police cruisers and officials gathered beneath a viaduct. Anna turns toward Chris, sitting in the back seat.
Stay in the car, okay? And please don't wake up your sister. I'll be back in a few minutes.
She gets out. Crossing her arms in front of her chest, she makes her way down to the river. An officer shows her past a police barricade. Red siren lights flash across her face as she approaches a gray-suited detective standing before two small covered bodies laid out on the ground. Anna puts a hand to her mouth.
Oh my God. I don't understand what happened.
We found them in the river. They were drowned. When you saw them, how were they?
They were fine. I mean, they were scared, but they were fine. I promised them that they would be safe, Coop. I promised
Anna,
them.
Anna, don't blame yourself.
The duo turns to find officers restraining Patricia.
Es tu culpa! Dejaste que se lo llevara! It's your fault!
Anna stares.
I tried to stop her! Pero tú no me escuchaste!
Who?
Anna and the detective step closer.
Who did you try to stop?
La Llorona.
As the officers guide a handcuffed Patricia into a cruiser, Anna and the detective exchange a troubled look. Patricia stares at them through the cruiser's rear window. Siren lights flashing on its hood, the cruiser drives away from the crime scene in slow motion. As it passes Anna's parked station wagon, Patricia glares at Chris sitting inside. The boy stares back, wide-eyed. The cruiser moves out of the inlet. Inside the station wagon, Chris cranes his neck, watching as various officials hover around the crime scene. A photographer approaches the covered bodies. Chris glances at his sister sleeping soundly beside him. Now, he walks gingerly along a fenced-off path overlooking the inlet. He moves closer to the chain-link fence and crouches in front of it. His vantage point allows him a clear view of the bodies below, as well as the crime scene officials hovering nearby. He watches them at work. He turns slowly and looks behind him. Getting to his feet, he takes a few cautious steps closer to a second chain-link fence running parallel to the path. In a small enclosed area beyond the fence, a figure in white sits in shadow, her shoulders heaving as she sobs. Chris peers through the fence, his lips parted in a curious expression. The figure turns her veiled head toward Chris.
Niño?
Rising, she faces him.
Mijito. Mijo. Ven.
Chris moves away as she advances.
Me voy a quedar contigo para siempre.
She steps into shadow and vanishes. reappearing near Chris and grabbing his wrist. Wrenching his burning arm away, he takes off. In the car, Sam lies asleep, clutching her doll, Misty.
Sam! Sam, let me in!
She wakes.
Open the door!
Open!
She pulls up the door lock knob. Chris hurries inside. He opens the door and closes it again. Noticing Sam's blanket caught in the door, he tugs it in, then looks up to see the veiled woman at his window. She disappears.
What's going on?
Did you see her?
Who?
Breathing heavily, Chris looks back at his window, then shifts his gaze to the front of the car, which lies empty. As he glances up at the roof, Sam eyes him worriedly, still clutching her doll. The window on her side lowers on its own. Chris reaches past her and grabs the crank handle, forcibly turning it the other way.
Chris, what's going on?
Rolling the window back up, he looks around the car frantically.
Chris?
He glances at his bewildered sister. The front passenger seat window begins to roll down. Climbing over the seat, Chris grabs the crank handle and pulls, his teeth gritted with effort. As Sam looks on, open-mouthed, he manages to close the window. In the back seat, Sam looks around anxiously. The door lock knobs pop up.
Hey, sorry, guys.
Anna looks in and notices the frightened faces of her children.
Are you okay?
She climbs in behind the wheel.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine.
At home, Chris plops back in bed, a blanket pulled up to his chin. Perching by his side, Anna gazes down at him.
You okay, honey?
Yeah, I was just imagining things.
Okay. Night.
She plants a kiss on his head.
Love you.
Switching off a bedside lamp, she leaves the room. Chris gazes after her, then pushes his blanket off his chest and eyes finger-shaped burn marks on his right wrist. Pulling the blanket back up, he snuggles into his pillow and closes his eyes. Daytime. In an alley, a scruffy man wafts smoke from burning herbs onto a woman standing before him with her eyes closed and her arms raised. On the ground, red and white carnations surround a framed photo of Carlos and Tomas. As the scruffy man performs the ritual on other mourners, Anna watches from a short distance away, blinking and lowering her gaze as the man casts a glance at her. Father Perez approaches.
He's a curandero. The ritual is called smudging. It's supposed to rid the body of any negativity that may have attached itself to it during times of great stress.
Do you believe it works?
The priest quirks a smile.
What does it matter what I believe? It's what they believe. And if they believe in that, then surely they believe in this.
He gestures to a church nearby.
Did you know the voice?
I was their caseworker.
Anna shoots a hesitant glance at the priest.
Can I ask you a question, Father?
Yes.
Do you know anything about La Llorona?
His expression turns grim.
I haven't heard that name since I was a child. The Weeping Woman. She was known for her beauty.
They sit inside the church.
The most beautiful woman in that part of Mexico. Then one day, a rich and handsome ranchero rode into her village. She set her sights on him. The marriage was splendid. They had two beautiful children whom they treasure. But then, after a time, she discovered him in the arms of a younger woman.
What'd she do?
She took from him what was most priceless. She murdered their children. In a fit of jealous rage, she drowned them in the river. After she realized what she had done, she was consumed by guilt. She threw herself into those same waters and is cursed to roam the earth, searching for children to take their place. Children are told to behave. Listen to their elders, or La Llorona will come and steal them away.
So it's a folktale.
Father Perez smiles faintly.
To some.
As Anna looks away, he retrieves a rosary from his pocket.
Here. It has seen me through many dark nights. May it do the same for you.
Oh, thank you, but my husband was the religious one, not me.
You don't have to be religious to have faith.
Back home, the water in the swimming pool ripples gently. Exiting the house through the back, Sam runs across the grassy yard, dressed in her pink raincoat and clutching her umbrella in one hand. She does a small twirl by the pool. Pausing, she looks around, her brow furrowed. Cocking her head with an intrigued expression, she makes her way toward a wooden fence bordering the leaf-strewn backyard. Her steps become measured as she approaches a gate in the fence with a barred window near the top. Climbing on a wooden beam running across the bottom of the gate, she peeks through the barred window. The street outside lies deserted, save for a lone car parked along the curb. Sam sweeps her gaze from left to right, but the houses across the street remain still and devoid of activity. The curly-haired girl steps down from the gate and heads back toward the house. Cocking her head, she pauses. With a small smile, she opens her umbrella and sees the veiled woman on the other side of the clear canopy. She tenses. She lifts the umbrella in one swift motion, and the woman disappears. Sam's eyes dart around worriedly. She spins around, clutching her umbrella handle with both hands as she scans the area. A sudden gust of wind blows the umbrella out of her hands. Turning, she strides up to where it lies on the edge of the concrete pool deck, but as she reaches for it, the umbrella flies off and comes to rest a few feet away. Frowning, Sam walks over to it. As she extends a hand to pick it up, another gust of wind blows it into the pool, where it lies floating on its canopy. Jaw dropping in an incredulous expression, Sam looks around, then carefully approaches the edge of the pool. Bending, she pulls the umbrella out of the water. As she raises it over her head, the veiled woman appears in front of her and grabs her arm with a mottled gray hand. She vanishes as Sam falls backward. Now, a low-angled view from inside the house moves through a foyer toward the front door. Anna enters, shutting the door behind her.
Chris?
She doffs her coat.
Chris!
She peers into her husband's study.
Sam? Sam?
Glancing up at the ceiling, she moves toward a staircase.
Sam?
Upstairs, she pauses in a hallway. Anna turns toward a bedroom on her left and walks over slowly, looking through the open doorway. Inside, a neatly made bed lies empty.
Sam?
On a window alcove seat, partially hidden by pink curtains, Misty the doll sits resting against a cushion. Anna walks over, passing a group of stuffed toys arranged by another window. She pushes the curtain aside to find her daughter sitting in the alcove seat, with her arms wrapped around her knees.
Sam? What's going on, honey? Honey, what happened to your arm?
I fell.
Sam hides her bruises.
That's quite a fall.
Pursing her lips, Sam lowers her gaze.
Hey, I know things are a little bit hard right now. And I know that the world sometimes seems scary. But I was thinking, remember what Daddy used to say? About if you were scared and he wasn't there.
She hands Sam the doll.
I tell you to hold on to Misty and you squeeze her really tight.
Feel any better? That feels a little bit better, right?
With a small shrug, Sam turns her attention to the window.
What are you looking at?
The girl slowly pulls back a sheer curtain.
Coop's here.
Chris retreats from the doorway. Anna takes a peek through the window, then gazes at her daughter, who continues to stare out.
Come on.
She pats the girl's knee as she rises.
Come on, Sven.
Sam watches her mother go, then looks back out the window. Nighttime. At dinner, Sam and Chris pick listlessly at their slices of pizza. Sitting at the table with them, Anna's detective friend eyes them curiously.
Rough day, guys?
Can we go watch TV?
Sure.
The kids move to the living room. Anna gives her friend a weary look. Shaking her head, she empties a bottle of red wine into her glass.
Cheers. It's been that kind of day, huh?
Week.
Month?
Year. I don't know. They're hanging in. I think.
Time.
Yeah. And the occasional takeout, so thank you.
You're welcome. Well, if you're not in the mood to talk personal problems, how about professional ones?
Oh, no, what?
It's about Patricia Alvarez.
He places a file on the table.
Well, we know that she had some involvement in her son's death, but she has a solid alibi. Several parishioners at her church said they saw her at the time their kids were taken.
Really?
You know her story. Just take a look at the file. Maybe you'll see something I missed.
I would love to help you, but she does not want to see me.
Well, that's just it. She's angry at you. And one of the first things your husband ever taught me is that...
Angry people love to talk.
Now, a puddle of water on the floor of Patricia's house reflects the scruffy curandero stepping in through the front door. He eyes the water. Moving through the house with a satchel slung across his shoulder, he takes in the boarded windows and the burnt-out candles. In the children's bedroom, he stops in front of the closet door with the painted mural of the eye. Opening it, he turns on the light bulb, then crouches to the floor. He moves to a small side table littered with candles. Noticing a spot of black liquid on the surface, he glances up at the ceiling, then kneels by the table and retrieves a collection tube from his satchel. Using a scalpel, he carefully scoops the thick black liquid into the collection tube. With a final scoop, he brushes the scalpel against the rim of the tube, pushing the gloop in. He screws the cap on. At home, Anna sits cross-legged on her bed, going through the contents of Patricia's file. She studies a stack of photographs. Some of the photos feature Patricia's boys as smiling, cherub-faced babies. Another shows them as young boys, seated side by side and smiling cheerfully. Setting the photos down with a sorrowful expression, Anna unclips another stack from the file. This one featuring crime scene evidence. She studies a shot of various items in the children's room, then gazes at photos of each of the boys' right arms, both sporting severe abrasions. Anna frowns. In a bathroom, water drips slowly from a tap. A view rises from behind the couch in the darkened living room. Another rotates as it pulls away from the front door. In one of the rooms, a wooden rocking horse moves back and forth as white curtains billow behind it. In her bedroom, Anna looks up, her expression growing tense. Dropping the photos on the file, she climbs out of bed. She descends the stairs in the dark, pausing briefly on the landing. Her gaze swings from the front door to the empty living room. She moves down a corridor leading up to the kitchen, scanning the dining room as she passes. The room remains still and vacant. Turning, she gazes into her husband's study, its furniture silhouetted against dim light filtering in through the curtained windows. Finding everything in its place, she moves on. She steps into the kitchen. Walking past a long sink set into the wall, she moves to the back door and takes a quick peek behind a window screen, a gentle breeze blowing outside. She starts to head back, stopping by the sink. She turns and stares, her expression tense. Moving past the stove, she peers around the kitchen doorway to find the door to the study swinging back and forth on its hinges. Anna steps closer, cautiously extending a hand toward the door. Pushing it open, she enters the study. Arms held stiffly at her sides, she walks around the compact room, then turns in the direction of the dining room and heads out. She slowly approaches the dinner table. She looks toward the front door, fear etched on her face. She steps closer to a partition separating the dining room from the living room. Beyond the partition, she catches a glimpse of the front door opening and closing repeatedly, the chain lock still in place. She takes a step to the right, and Chris comes into view, holding the doorknob as he opens and shuts the door. Anna blinks in relief.
Chris.
She walks up to him.
What are you doing?
Putting a hand on his shoulder, she moves him away from the door.
Chris. Hey.
She turns on a lamp.
You okay, honey?
The boy's head hangs, his eyes closed.
You all right? You okay, honey?
He opens his eyes as the front door opens. Held back by the chain lock, it shuts again. As mother and son stare, the door bursts open fully. A view from outside glides toward the house, but Anna slams the door shut and locks it. Behind her, Chris crumples to the floor.
Chris?
She helps him sit up.
Hey, wake up.
What happened?
You were sleepwalking, baby. Oh, sorry.
She hugs him.
You were just sleepwalking. It's okay. Come on. Come on, baby. Let's get you upstairs. Let's go to sleep. Come on.
They get to their feet and head for the staircase. Upstairs, a view through Sam's doorway shows her sleeping. In the bedroom beside hers, Anna tucks Chris into bed, spreading his blanket over him. Turning off his bedside lamp, she steps out of the room, casting a final glance at him as she goes. In the hallway outside, she pauses and eyes her daughter's bedroom, where Sam sleeps with Misty clutched tightly in her arms. The light goes off in Anna's room at the other end of the hallway. Turning, she walks into the room and tries a switch on a wall. Nothing happens. Walking further in, she notices the contents of Patricia's file strewn all over the floor, forming a kind of trail to the bed.
Is there someone in here?
Taking a few more steps into the darkened room, Anna sweeps her gaze around it.
Because my husband is a cop and he's gonna be home any minute now.
She backs up toward the door, her fists clenched at her sides. Turning, she sees the door to Sam's bedroom swinging open slowly, allowing a view of Sam sleeping inside. As Anna looks on warily from her room, the door begins to close again. It stops midway, and La Llorona's pale, ghostly face appears in an oval mirror affixed to the door. The mirror cracks.
Ah! Sam! Chris!
Anna's bedroom door slams shut.
Open the door!
Running to a closet, she grabs a baseball bat. On her way back, she sees the veiled woman in her room. She freezes.
What are you doing in my house?
The woman takes a step closer.
What are you doing in my house? Get out of my house!
She swings the bat.
Mom?
What happened?
The kids stand in her bedroom doorway with La Llorona nowhere in sight.
Nothing, honey. I'm sorry. Come on in, honey.
She ushers in her alarmed children.
Go on. I want you to sleep in Mommy's bed tonight, okay?
The siblings shuffle toward the bed. Now, in the faint light of dawn, a radio alarm clock reads 6:29. The kids sleep while Anna sits in a chair by the bed, the baseball bat resting between her legs. Running her hands through her hair, she clasps them by her chin. She turns off the alarm.
Get your foot off me.
Now, a sign on a building reads, Police Station, Precinct 27, Mid-City Division. Inside, Anna's detective friend gives her a concerned glance.
What?
She brushes back her disheveled hair. Handing her coat to the detective, she steps into a barren interview room, past a police officer holding a gate open for her. At a lone lamp-lit table inside, Patricia sits with her back to the gate. Anna walks around to face her.
Patricia.
She takes a seat across from the grieving mother.
I'm very sorry about your loss. I can't even imagine how you must feel.
Patricia eyes her coldly.
How I feel?
She flashes a humorless smile.
I feel nothing. Because I have felt the worst. I am done. I don't care what they do to me. You should be sitting here instead of me. You kill my boys, not me. Asesina.
You had them locked up.
I had them hidden. Protegidos. No, she has them. She has them.
Her face crumples. As Patricia wrings her hands, Anna notices burn marks on her wrist.
What happened to your arm? What happened to you, Patricia?
Pulling her hands back, Patricia rests them on her lap.
La Llorona. Your children. Have they heard her crying? Have they felt the sting of her tears? They will. Soon. And she will come for them. You know why? Because I told her to.
No, Patricia.
You know, when my boys died, I didn't pray to God for their salvation. Instead, I prayed to her.
She grins maniacally.
I prayed to her to give my children back to me and take yours instead.
Anna blanches, staring at Patricia through teary eyes. At home, Chris writes at the dinner table, books and papers scattered before him. Putting his pencil down, he studies the marks on his right arm, lightly touching the singed skin. With a small wince, he pulls the sleeve of his t-shirt over the bruises. He looks around, his eyes wide. Now, he climbs to the top of the staircase. Turning right, he walks past his and his mother's bedrooms to find a pull-down attic door hanging open in the hallway beyond. Chris stares up at the yawning gap in the ceiling, the attic space above completely shrouded in darkness. A pole with a hook stands propped against a wall nearby. Picking it up, Chris positions himself directly under the attic door, then uses the pole to push the door back up, standing on his tiptoes to make contact. He gazes up at the closed door. He turns around.
Sam?
Stepping back down the hallway, he returns the pole to its original spot by the wall, and slowly makes his way to his sister's bedroom.
Sam?
As he gets closer, he sees her empty bed through the open doorway. Lips parted in a nervous expression, he enters the bedroom and moves to the window, the pink curtains drawn almost all the way across the alcove seat. He pushes aside one of the curtains.
Sam.
The seat lies empty. Climbing onto it, Chris tries to shut an open window, but a gust of wind blows him back. Sprawled on the floor, he watches the pink curtains blowing in the wind. One of them billows upward, revealing La Llorona behind it. She lunges at Chris. He bolts. Stopping in the hallway outside, he stares back at Sam's bedroom. Emerging from his bedroom, the woman shoves him down the staircase.
Chris!
As Sam gapes from the foot of the stairs, Anna enters the house.
What?
She notices Chris on the landing.
Chris! Chris!
Later, at a clinic, the boy winces as a doctor examines his left wrist.
Sprain is pretty bad, champ.
He notices the marks on Chris's other arm and lifts his gaze to the boy's mother sitting nearby. Anna lowers her eyes sheepishly, keeping her arms around Sam sitting beside her. The doctor throws Chris a concerned glance. At home, the boy moves his bandaged hand as Anna places a TV dinner in front of him and another in front of Sam sitting across from him. Picking at their food, the siblings glance at each other. Anna smiles wearily at them. The children stare at the door. As Anna goes to answer it, Sam shoots Chris a nervous look. Their mother's detective friend waits outside.
Cooper, hi.
He wears a grave expression.
What? A hospital called?
Yeah. Welfare check.
He steps aside to reveal Donna, who walks up to the door. Closing her eyes, Anna presses her lips together, then eyes her colleague with a resigned expression. Later, Donna sits beside the children on the living room couch.
Samantha, how did you get those burns?
Clutching her doll, Sam hides her bruised arm behind the other. As Anna looks on with a hand at her mouth, Cooper shoots her a look.
How about you, Chris?
I told you I fell.
Is that true? Where was your mom?
The kids eye Anna, who blinks back tears. Donna looks at her.
Anna, you know you can't be here.
Oh, come on, Donna. I wouldn't.
They're trying to protect you.
They're telling you the truth. I would never hurt my kids.
She's right. You can't be here.
Running her fingers along the collar of her top, Anna glares at Cooper and Donna. Now she paces restlessly on her front porch. Donna steps out of the house and pauses before her colleague.
You may not believe this, but I hate having to be here.
She leaves. With a hand at her lips, Anna gazes after her. Inside, Cooper perches on the arm of the couch.
I promised your dad I'd watch out for you guys, so if you ever need anything, just call me.
Got it?
Pocketing his notepad, he walks up to Anna.
We had to release Patricia Alvarez. Didn't have enough to charge her.
Anna glances at Chris.
Maybe she didn't do it.
What do you mean?
Anna opens her mouth as if to speak, then shakes her head dismissively.
I don't know. Never mind.
Anna, whatever's going on here, fix it.
With a pointed look at his friend, he leaves. On the couch, Chris fiddles with a piece of paper, his eyes on his mother. Later, he sits on the floor in front of the TV.
Dad, for the first time in my life, I'm in love.
She's
very serious.
Hey.
And she loves me, Dad.
Anna switches off the TV.
Chris.
She sits down next to him.
Can we talk?
Hugging his knees, Chris keeps his gaze averted.
Honey, I need to know what really happened.
He swallows. Upstairs, Sam sits in the bathtub, lathering her hair with shampoo. Scooping water with both hands, she washes her face and neck, keeping her eyes closed and taking quick breaths between rinses. She shakes off the excess water and rubs her cheeks with her palms. Behind her, gray hands with blackened fingertips and yellowed nails reach for her and bury themselves in her hair. Smiling, Sam leans back and lets the hands massage her head. Downstairs.
I saw a woman.
In the house?
Chris nods.
Samantha's room. I thought it was Sam, but... a woman in a white dress. She was crying. She wants us. She wants us to be hers.
He meets Anna's gaze with a frightened expression. In the bathroom.
Ow. Mom, that hurts.
The hands ease up, and Sam leans back.
Rinsing.
She lowers herself under the water, the gray hand still holding her head. In the living room.
You believe me?
Anna cups his chin.
Yes, I do.
Upstairs, a view focuses on the bathtub in the seemingly empty bathroom. Inside, the gray hands hold Sam underwater. Struggling, she breaks free and sits up. Lips trembling, she slowly turns to look behind her, but sees no one. Her shoulders slump with relief. As she looks around the bathroom, her eyes darting in confusion, the gray hands dunk her back under the surface. An underwater view shows La Llorona's gray face hovering above the tub. Downstairs, Anna and Chris turn their gazes to the ceiling.
Sam?
Sam thrashes in the tub.
Sam?
Anna gets to her feet. As the woman in white holds a flailing Sam underwater, Anna arrives at the locked bathroom door.
Sam! Sam, open the door!
She tugs frantically on the doorknob. The door gives way suddenly, and Anna runs in, leaning by the tub and lifting Sam out of the water. As Chris watches from the doorway, Anna grabs a towel and wraps it around his sister.
What happened? What happened to you?
You okay?
What happened?
Sam scoots backward toward the door. Her terrified gaze remains fixed on the tub, where blackened fingers retreat from the rim. At the door, Chris's eyes widen.
Sam.
He points.
Mom.
Anna turns toward the tub, and La Llorona grabs her arm, black tears pouring from her yellow eyes. As Chris drags his sister out of the bathroom, Anna wrenches her arm away and crawls backward toward the door. Pausing at the top of the staircase, the kids watch as their sobbing mother shuts the bathroom door and holds it closed. The door shudders in its frame. The children race down the staircase while Anna continues holding on, her arm bearing fresh burn marks. The door flies open. As Anna takes off after the kids, a view moves into the bathroom, which lies dark and motionless. Now, Anna and the children sprint into the church building, which looms tall under a cloudy gray sky. Inside, Anna reveals the marks on her arm.
I know it sounds hard to believe.
Seated at Father Perez's desk, she lifts her gaze to the priest.
A few years ago, I placed little stock in legends, myths, things that go bump in the night. But then, there was an incident. With a doll.
In a flashback, he exits an apartment building holding a wide-eyed, lifelike female doll.
It opened my mind to possibilities out of the ordinary.
Can you help us?
The church works with people who specialize in situations like this.
Okay.
But to get to them, we'd have to go through the archdiocese.
How long does that take?
At its best, several weeks for a case to be approved.
Closing her eyes, Anna shakes her head.
No.
There may be another way. It's unorthodox, but he's local. However, if you choose this route, I must obey the laws of the church and remove myself from this process. As I said, his methods are unorthodox. And the church, well, the church has their ways, and he has his. He's why he abandoned the collar years ago.
He used to be a priest.
Yes, But now he's a faith healer. A shaman who operates on the fringes of religion and science. A curandero.
Now, Anna and the kids enter a sunlit shop with a display table of candles near the entrance. Anna shuts the door behind her.
Don't touch anything, okay?
The scruffy man moves behind a counter.
Hola, excuse me.
I've seen you before.
He puts a couple of jars in a fridge.
The Alvarez Memorial, yes?
Yes, I was her caseworker.
Well, if you've come just to gawk at my shop, I have more important things to do.
You know what, I don't think that we're in the right spot. I'm sorry. Come on, guys.
She pulls Chris's arm away from a bowl of crystals, then notices the curandero staring at the burn marks.
Have you seen this before?
Yes.
What is it?
The church can help you.
No, 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 please. The church sent us here to you.
This is church business.
He turns away, but Sam grabs his sleeve.
Please.
The curandero's gaze softens, and he looks up at Anna, who eyes him imploringly. Returning his gaze to Sam, he quirks a small smile. Later, he studies the bruises on Anna's arm.
These are the marks of La Llorona. You have seen her then.
Sitting across from him in a cluttered inner room, Anna nods.
You ever seen her?
No. Not directly. But I have seen what she does.
What do we do?
We are facing an evil. It has no bounds.
Anna shakes her head.
But she's not a human, right?
No, but she was.
He grabs his satchel.
Until her murderous vanity consumed her. She's just a dark spirit, unholy, forsaken by God.
Okay, that's it. I'm gonna take them to a motel.
Why? She's attached herself to your family, not your house. If you move, she will follow you.
Anna holds her kids closer.
What are we supposed to do then?
Reaching up into a shelf, the curandero takes out an ornate metal wind chime from a skull-shaped container. Anna stares at it.
I don't think that's gonna help.
No. Not just this.
He moves to a large black cabinet and opens the doors.
At the memorial, I saw you speaking with Father Perez.
He said that you used to be a priest.
The curandero looks aside, nodding slowly.
My journey began in the church. Yes.
He picks up the sample of black liquid from inside the closet.
That was a long time ago.
Shutting the doors back up, he grabs his jacket and faces Anna.
Take me to your home. We must begin immediately.
In Anna's house, he rubs an egg along the edges of a doorway. Anna and the kids descend the stairs, each holding an egg.
We're done.
I'm sorry, are you just gonna rub eggs all over everything?
You think it's silly, don't you?
Pretty much.
The curandero gazes at them, unamused.
Come with me.
At the dinner table.
This ritual, La Limpia, is used to detect the presence of evil.
Spreading a white cloth across the table, he lays the eggs over it.
Bloodier the content, the greater the evil.
Closing his eyes, he raises his hands, an egg clutched in one of them.
Me envuelvo hoy en día, y yo ato a mí una fuerza poderosa. La invocación de la Trinidad, la fe en las tres personas, la confesión de la unidad del Creador, del universo.
Lowering his hands, he taps the egg against the rim of a metal bowl, then cracks it open. A thick, dark liquid oozes out of the egg. Anna shakes her head with a skeptical expression.
Oh, that's a trick. I saw it on Johnny Carson.
Chris's eyes grow wide, his gaze fixed on the table.
Mom?
The remaining three eggs stand upright on the cloth, swiveling about their bases. The curandero takes a step back from the table as the eggs vibrate in place, then explode, spewing dark liquid over Anna's face and clothes.
Ta-da!
Sam stares.
Did you see that on Carson?
The curandero crosses himself.
En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.
Anna does the same.
Amen.
Now, Anna hangs the metallic wind chime on the front porch of the house.
We all need to work together. La Llorona thrives in darkness. Let's prepare.
The curandero lays out small bottles of liquids and dry powders on a coffee table, as well as a rosary. Anna unpacks candles from a suitcase, and the kids place them along the top of a cabinet. Swinging a thurible, the curandero walks around the house while Anna lights the candles. Chris studies an elaborately carved wooden cross among the shaman's supplies.
That cross was carved from a tree in Mexico and blooms with red blossoms that make it look like it's on fire. El árbol del fuego.
Sam looks on from the doorway.
The fire tree.
They say the fire trees wept as La Llorona drowned her children. As the only witness to her sins, they hold a special power over her.
Later, the curandero lines doorways and windowsills with coarsely ground powders. In her bedroom, Sam performs the smudging ritual on her doll, Misty. In the dining room, Anna fiddles with Father Perez's rosary, while upstairs, Sam kisses her doll. The curandero makes the sign of the cross over the sample of black gloop.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
He opens the collection tube and pours the liquid out into a bowl. Lighting a match, he drops it into the bowl, then pours the contents back into the glass tube. Anna observes him as he screws the cap back on.
What is that?
The tears of La Llorona have sanctified them.
Why?
Anti-venom.
Cut to black. Now, lightning flashes in the night sky as rain pours over the city. A low-angled view of the wet street in front of Anna's house rises to take in her front door, illuminated by a single porch light. Inside, the curandero stands at the kitchen stove, cracking an egg into a bowl and mixing its contents. Anna approaches.
Is that another ritual?
Yes. Breakfast for dinner.
Anna smiles.
That was David's thing. Breakfast for dinner. I used to always tease him because cereal is the only thing he knew how to make.
Tonight, our comida is for comfort after everything that you've been through and what's to come.
You don't seem very confident.
I'm confident in God.
Father Perez said you turned your back on the church.
The church? Yes. God? Never.
The lights flicker out.
Get the kids.
In the living room, the curandero walks around Anna and the kids, shaking a rattle.
Watch the flames.
They sit within a circle of candles.
The steady flame tells us that our protective charms are working.
Is she coming?
The curandero stops and looks off, his expression alert.
She's already here.
Within the candlelit circle, the kids huddle closer to their mother. Wearing terrified expressions, they all gaze up at the ceiling. The curandero jumps and eyes another part of the ceiling.
What is she doing?
She's searching.
For what?
Us.
As Anna pulls the children closer, the curandero's gaze shifts to the staircase, on which several candles burn steadily. The flames die out in a domino effect, spreading from the staircase to the rooms downstairs until all the candles are extinguished. Reaching behind her, Anna picks up a lantern, its glow illuminating her petrified face as she places it in front of her and the kids. She hugs the children close again, and the curandero returns his gaze to the staircase. In the absence of candlelight, the staircase sits in shadow, the upper level completely shrouded in darkness. Anna and the kids peer up at it, but everything remains still and motionless. Anna stares fixedly into the darkness. Her frightened eyes glisten with tears. Drops of black liquid fall onto the lantern top, causing the metal to sizzle. Looking up, the trio finds La Llorona hovering over them. She tosses Anna into a wall. The kids scramble over to the couch.
Mom!
Mommy?
They peer out from behind the couch and spot Anna lying in a heap on the floor. Nearby, holding up the rattle, the curandero mutters under his breath, his eyes darting all around the room.
Rafael, help us.
The children stare at him imploringly. Brow furrowed, the curandero takes a few steps back, blending into the shadows. Turning away, the children crawl over to the dinner table. Chris pushes aside a chair, and the siblings quickly scoot under the table. Wide-eyed with fear, they gaze out from beneath the tablecloth hanging over the edges. Chris's gaze sweeps from left to right, scanning the dark, motionless living room ahead of them. The lantern rolls toward them on its side, bumping into one of the table's legs. As the kids peer out worriedly, the tablecloth behind them starts to lift up. The siblings slowly turn their heads toward the back. As they stare, the opposite end of the tablecloth rises up. The kids look around again, fear etched on their young faces. They look up. Scrambling out from under the table, they watch as the tablecloth tents upward, forming a hooded cape over an upright figure. The figure jumps down on Chris, enveloping him in the tablecloth. Nearby, Anna winces, one hand covering her ear.
Mom, she's got me!
La Llorona reaches for Chris's face. Sitting up, Anna sees him struggling to get out from under the tablecloth.
Sam, help me!
Chris! Grab my hand!
He gets dragged away. Anna runs after him, following him as he slides backward across the floor toward the front door. She trips and falls, but Raphael grabs the boy's arm, keeping him in place as he pops the cap off the tube of antivenom and splashes La Llorona with the liquid. Clutching her face, she stumbles backward through the door, and Raphael quickly lines the threshold with the powdered substance. Rising to his feet, he locks gazes with the enraged woman, keeping his expression impassive as she charges at him. An invisible force stops her at the doorstep. Raphael slams the door in her face, then leans against it, a look of relief washing over his face.
You told us we'd be safe! You said the light would protect us!
Not true.
Mommy, Misty's gone. I can't find her.
Oh, honey, not now.
You let her get me.
What are you talking about?
Anna gapes at Raphael.
You used my son as bait?
No, of course not. Used all of you as bait.
Are you crazy? What if you didn't get to him in time?
But I did. And now La Llorona is out of your house.
Chris eyes the doorstep.
What are those?
Remember the fire tree? Those are its seeds. As long as this line remains unbroken, she cannot enter. Do not touch them. La Llorona will do whatever she can to get back inside this house.
One of the glass panels on the door cracks. Backing away, Raphael eyes a window in the living room. Holding the children close, Anna steps back as well.
The back door! Chris!
Running into the kitchen, Chris tries to shut the door. Anna helps him.
Quick, grab a hammer now!
She's gonna get in!
Anna leaves them and hurries into a basement.
Away, spirit! You have no power here! Away from this family!
The door to the basement closes slowly, revealing Sam standing by herself in the foyer. She looks toward the front door. Pushing aside a curtain, she peers through a side light to find her doll on the porch outside. She lifts her gaze to the street beyond, which lies dark and deserted. Shaking her head slightly, she pulls back. She looks toward the kitchen with a thoughtful expression. Now, opening the door a crack, she eyes her doll lying on the other side of the threshold. On the dark street beyond, Anna's station wagon sits parked along the curb. Sam lowers her gaze to the powdered seeds lining the doorstep. Pursing her lips, she opens the door wider, then takes a step closer to the threshold, keeping her sneakered feet a few inches from the line of seeds. Getting down to her knees, she reaches across the doorstep with her left hand, her right hand clutching the door jamb for support. Her right hand slips slightly on the door jamb, and her knees brush up against the line of seeds. Grabbing Misty's foot between two fingers, Sam pulls the doll closer, but her right hand slips even more, upsetting her balance. Repositioning herself with her knees almost on the line, Sam extends her hand again, grasping at the doll's feet with her fingertips. She glances up at the wind chime swaying in the breeze. Leaning further out, she reaches for the doll. Nearby, Anna exits the basement with a flashlight and spots her at the door.
Sam! Get away from that door!
Sam pulls Misty in.
Mommy, I got Misty, and I didn't break the beans.
The doll accidentally disrupts the line, and Sam flies backward through the door. As Anna runs over, it swings shut. Struggling with it, Anna pulls it open and runs out of the house.
Sam! 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 Sam!
She's gonna drown her.
Oh God, the pool!
She runs back in. Now, bursting through the back door, she hurries to the swimming pool and shines her flashlight at the water. The beam catches Misty floating on the surface.
Sam!
She dives into the pool, waving her flashlight around as she searches for her daughter. The light illuminates a hula hoop near the bottom of the pool, as well as a tricycle. As Raphael and Chris come bounding out of the house, Anna surfaces, taking a couple of deep breaths before diving back in. Waiting by the edge of the pool, Chris and Raphael watch the beam from Anna's flashlight moving under the water. The flashlight flickers as it lands on Sam's umbrella, then on her floating figure a few feet ahead. Anna swims over hurriedly, but La Llorona appears suddenly and lunges at her. Chris and Raphael watch the flashlight beam swinging wildly as Anna struggles to free herself. Kneeling, Raphael retrieves a container from his satchel, shakes some of its contents out into the palm of his hand, and makes a fist. He holds up the rosary in his other hand.
Bendito seas tú, Señor, Dios Todopoderoso. Ven a bendecirnos con Jesucristo. Bendita de nuestra salvación. Danos a nosotros fuerza con esta agua bendita. Amen.
He pours a handful of salt into the pool, then places his palm on the water surface. Quick underwater flashes show Anna and the woman still caught in a tussle. The flashlight goes off. Raphael retracts his hand, his gaze fixed on the dark, still waters. Chris's wide-eyed gaze darts between the curandero and the pool. Anna emerges from the water holding Sam, who coughs up water. Raphael grabs the girl by the arms and lifts her out of the pool.
Is she okay?
She's okay. She's breathing. She's okay.
Anna climbs out of the pool, and she and Chris sit on either side of a dazed Sam, with Raphael standing nearby. Anna gazes around worriedly, then opens her palm to study La Llorona's necklace clutched in her hand, bearing the circular pendant with the embedded stone. Chris looks up at Raphael.
What did you do?
Your pool is now filled with holy water. La Llorona had no choice but to leave.
Now, Chris brings over towels to Anna's bedroom as she dries Sam off.
Thank you, honey.
Raphael enters the room.
Sweetie. Are you okay, honey? Sam.
The girl stands.
Sam?
Letting go of Anna's hand, she takes a couple of steps back.
What's she doing?
Raphael looks around the room. Sam stares blankly, then turns and heads for the door.
Sam, what's wrong with her? Raphael!
The curandero shuts the door. Sam tugs on the knob.
What's wrong with her?
Raphael pulls the girl away from the door.
La Llorona had your daughter in her grasp. Now when she calls to her, she will go. When we banish the spirit, her trance will be broken. Until then, we have to keep them close.
He guides Sam back to Anna, who pulls Chris in as well. Raphael turns his head to the side.
What? What are you thinking? What? What do we do?
Raphael returns his gaze to the kids, his expression grave. Anna and Chris watch him nervously. Now, grasping two brass knobs, Raphael opens a pair of closet doors. Chris stares into the darkness within, then looks up at his mother.
Do we have to?
Yes, just until sunrise.
Okay.
He walks in, guiding his sister with one arm around her shoulder. Placing a blanket over their laps, Anna touches her cheek to Sam's, then cups Chris's face.
You are so brave. Your daddy would be so proud of you. The way you look after Sam and me. I need you to know that it's okay to be scared. Everybody is. Sometimes I am. Daddy was.
Raphael?
No.
He's lying.
I love you, Mom.
I love you too, baby.
She gives him a tight hug.
I love you both so much.
She pulls both kids into an embrace, then lets go of them and backs out of the closet, nodding quickly. Chris notices her apprehensive expression.
It's okay, Mom. Do it.
Anna shuts the closet doors, and darkness falls over the children. Now, a low-angled view rises from the street outside to find La Llorona facing the house, her dirty white dress and veil billowing in the wind. Inside, Anna sits on the floor outside her bedroom door, studying the necklace. Raphael kneels in front of her.
Where did you get that?
Anna hands it over to him.
It's hers.
Hers?
It was around her neck.
Raphael examines the necklace, then presses it back into Anna's palm.
Keep it close. We might be able to use it against her.
Chris listens from inside the closet. The view fades to black. Now, coffee bubbles in a percolator on the stove. Anna perches on the desk in the study while Raphael sits nearby, both of them lost in thought. As Raphael drops his head, the view fades to black. In the foyer, a floor-level view shows the front door swinging open. A figure stands on the porch, the hem of her long white dress dirty and wet. Fade to black. Lifting one soiled foot over the threshold, the figure steps over the line of seeds and enters the house. Fade to black. In the study, Raphael holds the elaborately carved cross. Fade to black. Bare feet make their way up the staircase. Fade to black. Anna turns her head toward a rain-streaked window. Fade to black. Upstairs, the closet doors open slowly, and Chris looks up, his eyes wide and fearful. Fade to black. In the study, Anna continues gazing at the rain streaking down the window. She hurries out to find the figure dragging Chris toward the open door, Sam walking willingly beside her. Whipping around, Patricia points a gun.
Patricia?
Her aim wavers between Anna and Raphael.
Please, you took my babies from me.
Don't do this.
She'll give them back to me.
Patricia, please don't do this. Patricia, please, please put the gun down. Okay, we can talk about this. You and I can just talk about this, okay, Patricia?
Raphael moves, and Patricia fires, please, wounding him in the shoulder.
Please bring them back to me.
No.
Give me back my boys!
With her foot, she brushes off the seats lining the doorway.
No!
A gust of wind blows them all to the ground. Anna lifts her head. She clutches her throat as an invisible force drags her backward and shoves her into the basement, where she tumbles down a couple of steps. As La Llorona advances on the kids, they turn to the front door, but it slams shut. Chris picks up the necklace lying on the floor. As the kids race upstairs, the bedroom doors close.
It's locked.
Mine too.
Let me check this one.
Chris, they're all locked. What do we do?
Picking up the pole with the hook, Chris eyes the attic. Meanwhile, Patricia sits up, clutching her head and grimacing. Her eyes widen as she notices La Llorona moving up the staircase. Upstairs, standing on his tiptoes, Chris tries to put the hook through a metal ring on the attic door.
Please. Oh my. Come on, she's coming!
I know! I got
He pulls the door open and a ladder unfolds.
Go, 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 go!
As they climb, La Llorona arrives in the upstairs hallway.
Down the roof!
The children pull on a rope attached to the ladder, catching a glimpse of La Llorona just as they manage to close the door. Downstairs, Anna bangs on the basement door. Meanwhile, in the attic.
Grab the light! Here it is!
Sam turns on a flashlight. As her brother ties the rope around a wooden support beam, she looks toward a corner. The flashlight beam illuminates a mannequin in a white wedding dress and veil. Behind them, the rope slowly unwinds from around the support beam. As it unravels completely, the kids scramble away from the door, making their way around furniture and storage boxes. A metal cabinet slides in their way.
No, this way!
Boxes of Christmas supplies block their path.
Follow me!
Okay, I'm coming!
A large chest of drawers cuts off their other exit and boxes them in. Sam's emergency flashlight flickers.
Oh no.
The light goes out, leaving them in darkness. Looking up, the children see the furniture and storage boxes sliding out of the way, creating a clear path to La Llorona, standing in shadow at the other end of the attic. A flash of lightning briefly illuminates her. The kids stare wide-eyed as she slowly advances on them.
Get behind me.
Sam does as instructed.
Help! They're not your kids!
Listening to Anna pounding on the basement door, Patricia's face crumples. In the attic, Sam cowers behind Chris as La Llorona moves closer. Chris raises his hand, letting the circular pendant drop from his palm as he holds up the necklace. La Llorona stops in her tracks, her face still in shadow. The siblings watch her with tense expressions. She steps closer. As she crouches down to the kid's level, her normal human face comes into view, her honey-colored skin creasing at her brow, and her dark, vulnerable eyes boring into Chris. A wide-eyed Sam looks on as the woman touches the pendant dangling from Chris's hand, then gently wraps her fingers around his wrist. Extending her other hand, she caresses his face, her own brimming with emotion. Watching the interaction with a furrowed brow, Sam puts a hand on the floor, inadvertently pressing on the edge of a sheet covering a tall object behind her. Meanwhile,
let them go!
Breaking off the knob on the basement door, Patricia opens it for Anna.
Go.
Anna takes off up the stairs.
Chris!
Raphael struggles to his feet and follows her, the wooden cross clutched in his hand. Standing by the basement door, Patricia gazes up anxiously. In the attic, a black tear rolls down La Llorona's face. Sam adjusts her hand on the sheet, and it drops away to reveal an ornate mirror behind the kids. The mirror cracks as the woman spots her gray-faced reflection. Raphael arrives with Anna.
Behold the cross of the Lord, and be gone, wicked spirit!
A force sends him flying into the air, knocking against the ceiling. He drops the cross and lands in a pile of boxes nearby. As the kids run up to their mother and hide behind her, bright lightning illuminates La Llorona, glaring at them. She strides toward them. Raphael kicks the cross over.
Anna!
Picking it up, Anna plunges it into La Llorona's chest. Anna screams. La Llorona staggers backward, spewing black ooze as she decays and melts. The attic shudders violently, and the ooze swirls around La Llorona's rapidly dissipating form until she dematerializes completely, leaving behind only the cross, which drops to the floor. Anna and the kids stare ahead, no trace left of La Llorona's presence in the room. Behind them, Raphael props himself up on an elbow, clutching at his bloodied shoulder. Sobbing, Anna pulls her children closer. Raphael looks at the family.
Ta-da!
Anna gazes over her shoulder at him. She rests her cheek on Sam's head, then puts an arm around each of her children. A view from the back shows the three of them huddled together.
It's okay. You're okay now.
Daytime, an aerial view glides over Echo Park Lake, a tall fountain in its midst. On the street outside Anna's house, a man fits Raphael's luggage into the trunk of his taxi. Stepping out of the house, Anna and the kids join the curandero on the curbside.
Thank you. I don't know how I could ever repay you.
The children wrap their arms around his waist in a tight hug. Cracking a smile, Raphael lowers his head to them. A rough bandage covers the wound on his shoulder. As the kids step back, he eyes them intently.
You two were very brave. Even I was scared for a while.
Really?
No, not really.
With a small smile, he gets into the taxi and shuts the door after himself. He and Anna wave goodbye to each other as the car moves off. The siblings turn back toward the house.
Meet you inside.
They take off. As their mother moves to follow, a view closes in on a puddle of water on the curb. Anna's upside-down reflection pauses and turns around, a troubled look flickering across her face as she stares at the water. Cut to black. Credits appear. Directed by Michael Chavez. Written by Mickey Daughtry and Tobias Iaconis. Produced by James Wan, PGA. Produced by Gary Dauberman, PGA, Emil Gladstone, PGA. Executive producers, Richard Brenner, Dave Neustadter, Walter Hamada. Executive producers, Michelle Morrissey, Michael Clear. Director of photography, Michael Burgess. Production designer, Melanie Jones. Edited by Peter Gavazdis. Music by Joseph Bashara. Co-producers, Victoria Palmieri, Judson Scott. Costumes designed by Megan Spatz. Casting by Rich Delia, CSA. Linda Cardellini. Raymond Cruz. Patricia Velasquez. Marisol Ramirez. Sean Patrick Thomas. Roman Christow. Janie Lynn Kinchin. A New Line Cinema presentation. An Atomic Monster, Emil Gladstone production. Credits roll. No person or entity associated with this film received payment or anything of value or entered into any agreement in connection with the depiction of tobacco products. Copyright 2018, Warner Brothers Entertainment, Inc., all rights reserved. This motion picture is protected under the copyright laws of the United States and other countries throughout the world. Country of first publication, United States of America. Any unauthorized exhibition, distribution, or copying of this film or any part thereof, including soundtrack, may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. The story, all names, characters, and incidents portrayed in this production are fictitious. No identification with actual persons, places, buildings, and products is intended or should be inferred. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Warner Brothers Pictures, voice by William Michael Redman. The Curse of La Llorona. Distributed by Warner Brothers Pictures, a Warner Media company. www.warnerbrothers.com